Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. I'd like to preach a message I have entitled Living for Christ. By way of introduction, let me say this. God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. Notice, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That is one of the clearest passages in all the Word of God. That God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do, but that you might live for Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:6 it says, "Knowing this, their old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." We ought not be serving the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that we have, that we're born with. We ought to be serving the Master. We ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to live in such a way you can say, "I know that I am well pleasing in God's sight. I know that I am well pleasing to God." Brethren, you're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ unashamed by accident. If you stand at the judgment seat of Christ unashamed, it will be because at some point in your Christian life, you have determined that is exactly how you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And with that in mind, you will stand before Jesus Christ one day and give him the account of how you lived your life. You will give an account of how you lived your life from the very moment you embraced him as your own personal Savior and friend and until the day you die. And the Bible is clear on this. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Romans 14:10 says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? The Bible tells you why. Romans 14:12, which says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Living for God and doing what is right does not happen by accident. It will only happen as you determine by God's grace that is exactly what you're going to do. I want you to consider this matter of living for Jesus Christ and doing what is right on purpose. The reason some of you folks don't have devotions, don't read the Bible, don't pray, don't tithe, don't attend church regularly, don't get involved in the outreach ministry of the local church, is that it never seems to work out in your schedule. Righteousness rarely works out in your schedule. It's usually inconvenient to do right. If you're going to do what you ought to do, you need to do it on purpose. So let me ask you something. Do you live your life by chance? Do you get up on Sunday morning and say, "I wonder if I'm going to live for God and do what's right this week?" You don't have to live that way. We'll notice several things. Number one, you need to decide to live for Christ and do what's right. Number two, you need to discipline yourself to do what you've decided. And then number three, you need to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Well, notice number one, you need to decide to live for God and do what's right. And that's not going to happen by accident. Don't wake up one morning and find out that your life has been well-pleasing to God. It does not happen that way. You need to make a conscious and deliberate decision to live for God and do what is right. I've already decided that. I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to live for Christ. It has affected the way I think. It has affected the way I talk. It has affected the way I dress. It has affected the way I love my wife. It has affected everything about me. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to decide that. You need to decide to live for God and do what is right. For example, in Romans chapter 6, 11 through 14, Paul writes, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." That's a decision. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, accept the law of God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a decision. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's a decision. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a decision. In our text, 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's a decision. Have you decided to live for God and do what is right? Is it settled with you? If a problem comes up in your life, do you have to decide all over again you're going to live for God and do what's right? Many Christians act that way today. I mean, they make the general notion they are generally going to live for God and do what is right, but in every situation, it is always up in the air. You never know which side they're going to come down on. If that's the way you're living your Christian life today, you're probably not right with God. And if you are right with God, you're up and down in your Christian life so much so that your Christian life has no consistency at all. But if you make a conscious and deliberate decision by God's grace in every situation, in every instance, that you're going to live for Christ, you're going to do the will of God, you're going to do what's right, you are going to come down on God's side. Mark it down, you will be well-pleasing to God when you face Him at the judgment seat of Christ. So let me ask you something. Have you decided to live for God and do what is right? Is it settled with you or is it still up in the air? Have you purposed in your heart to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to read the Word of God every day and apply it to your life through obedience? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to pray throughout the day? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to have devotions and quiet time with the Lord every day? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to have family devotions every day? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to study the Word of God every day? Have you decided that? Have you purposed in your heart to memorize Scripture throughout the day? Have you decided that? Doing all these things is not the result of a sermon. It is the result of a simple decision on your part. That's exactly what you're going to do. Don't you see that? Have you decided you're going to tithe? You say, preacher, I'll begin to tithe when I can afford it. Well, my dear Christian friends, you will never be able to afford it. You will only tithe when you say, I have decided it is the right thing to do, therefore I am going to tithe. Have you decided you're going to be in church? I am going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll be there if I can. But I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of times that you cannot. Those who come to church faithfully come to church faithfully because at some point in their lives, they have decided, that's how I'm going to live my life. Are you going to be a loving husband in the home? You're not going to be one by accident. You're only going to be a loving husband in the home when you decide that's how you're going to live. Are you going to be a submissive wife in the home? You're not going to be one by accident. You're only going to be a submissive wife in the home when you decide that's how I'm going to live. Are you going to be an obedient child in the home? You're not going to be an obedient child in the home by accident. You're only going to be an obedient child at home when you decide that's exactly how you're going to live. You're not going to live for God and do what is right without making these types of decisions. The successful Christian life is made one decision after another. It does not happen any other way. If you think that living for God and doing what is right is done any other way, you're simply fooling yourself. There has to be a decision. There has to be determination. You need to say something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to do what's right. It is going to affect the way I think. It is going to affect the way I talk. It is going to affect the way I dress. It is going to affect the way I love my wife. It is going to affect my life. That is, it's going to affect everything about me. I have made up my mind. I am going to live for Jesus Christ and do what is right. Now that you've decided that, you need to realize that deciding to do this is not the end of the battle. But there will be no success where there is no decision. There will be no success where there is no determination. You say, "Preacher, I'm not always sure what's right." But that's why God gave you the Bible. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Psalm 37 verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." The reason some of you have not made a solid decision is that you have not connected those decisions with the Word of God. What you need to do is get in the Word of God and find out what you ought to be doing. You need to come to the place in your life where you say, "I ought to be in church on Wednesday night because the Bible says I ought to go. I ought to be involved in soul winning because the Bible says I ought to be involved in soul winning." You need to decide that. You need to decide that whatever God Almighty says, that is exactly what you're going to do. Don't you see that? We've noticed, number one, you need to decide to live for God and do what's right. But notice, number two, you need to discipline yourself to do what you decided. Are you going to do what you are supposed to do because you're supposed to do it, because it is a right decision, because it is the right thing to do? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Hold fast that which is good." As a child of God, you need to come to a settled decision in your life that you're going to live for God and do what is right. And once you've decided that, you need to discipline yourself to do what you've decided, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations. Here's where you really take hold of yourself. The Bible calls it temperance. Temperance in the New Testament always means self-discipline or self-control. And the Bible teaches that discipline or temperance is a fruit of the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul writes, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." What was Paul saying here is simply saying this: I tell my body what to do, and I don't let my body tell me what to do. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, the Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this: brethren, you ought to have rule over your own spirit. You say, "Preacher, I have decided I'm going to live for God and do what is right. Now I am home free." No, you're not. Upon that decision, there must come self-discipline. You need to discipline yourself to do what is right. Discipline involves several things. It involves learning and developing new habits. One problem with most Christians today is that they have bad habits. They have bad reading habits. They have bad writing habits. They have bad study habits. They have all kinds of bad habits. Another problem with most Christians today is that they don't want it to cost them anything to do right. They don't want to pay the price to do right. God's people are not willing to discipline themselves to do what is right. Doing what is right does not come naturally. You say, "Preacher, I have decided I'm going to go to church. It's the right thing to do. Now I'm home free. It will come naturally." No, it will not. "I have decided I'm going to have devotions every day. The Word of God requires it. The Word of God demands it. It is the right thing to do. I have made up my mind I'm going to do it. The hard part is over. The hard part is past." No, it's not. It is carried out when you learn and develop new habits. It is carried out when you discipline yourself to do what you're supposed to do. You don't have devotions naturally. If you have devotions at all, you have to go against the old sin nature that you have. By nature, you want to miss church. You naturally do what is wrong. You have to learn how to do right. And if you're going to learn how to do right, you're going to have to discipline yourself every day to do what you are supposed to do. It's that simple. You say, "Preacher, what if I don't feel like it?" Do it anyway. What if I'm not encouraged to do it? Do it anyway. Do what is right because it is right to do right. Do what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. If you do what you're supposed to do because you are supposed to do it, brethren, it won't be hard to do right. Do you know why you ought to come to church? You say, because I feel good. No, sir. You ought to come to church because it is the right thing to do. Do you folks know why you ought to come to church on Wednesday night? You say, preacher, I got the time. No, sir. You ought to come to church on Wednesday night because it is the right thing to do. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why should you get involved in the outreach ministry of your local church? Why should you try to win men, women, boys, girls, and teenagers to Jesus Christ? You have no earthly idea, do you? What's the right thing to do? Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just good advice. That's not a strong suggestion. That is a command. Why should you tithe? You say, preacher, because the church needs the money. No, if they had $1 million in the bank account, and God forbid, but even if they had $1 million in the bank account, you ought to tithe because it's the right thing to do. Malachi 3:8 says, well, men robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. If you're going to do what's right, you need to decide to do right. And once you've decided to do right, you need to discipline yourself to do what you're supposed to do. Don't let circumstances tell you what to do. Don't let situations tell you what to do. Do what is right because it is right to do right. We have noticed you need to decide to live for God and do what is right. You've noticed, number two, you need to discipline yourself to do what you've decided. But notice, number three, you need to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Don't think that living for God and doing what is right can only be done by the strong-willed. God will not do for you what you could do for yourself and won't do because you have no character. God will not physically pick you up, throw you into your automobile, and drive you to church. He won't do that. The Holy Spirit of God will not wake you up, throw you into your chair, open the Bible, and say, please read this. He won't do it. If you don't have enough character, if you don't have enough discipline to do that, He won't do it for you. However, if you will make a decision to live for God and do what is right, and then discipline yourself to do what you've decided, the Holy Spirit of God will help you in that moment of discipline and empower you to do His will. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't you see? Both the Holy Spirit of God and discipline work together. Discipline for the child of God is not an act of the flesh, but it is the product of the Holy Spirit of God working in you. You find me a Christian who is filled with the Spirit, and I'll show you a Christian who is well disciplined. You find me a Christian who is right with God, who is in fellowship with the Lord, and I'll show you a Christian who is in charge and in control of his life. He does not live by the passions of the flesh. He does not live by the crisis of the hour. He lives by the Word of God. He lived by the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling him. You need to be right with the Holy Spirit of God so that He can enable you to do those things that you ought to do. In other words, don't grieve Him by sin. Don't quench Him by prolonged sin. Don't go on in your sins. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You say, preacher, what must I do? Don't you see you need to have your sins washed away? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no reason why you cannot decide to live for God and do what is right. You may not be able to play the piano, but you can decide to live for God and do what's right. and then discipline yourself to do what you've decided and depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do those things that you ought to do. You can say, I am going to be in Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You can do that because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to read the Word of God every day because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to pray every day because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to be a witness for Christ every day because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to be a loving husband in the home because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to be a submissive wife in the home because it is the right thing to do. I'm going to keep my mind pure before God because it is the right thing to do. I'm going to keep my mouth clean before God because it is the right thing to do. I'm going to make the right kind of friends because it is the right thing to do. You can lean upon the Holy Spirit of God as other Christians do. You can have what they have. All you need to do is make a simple decision to live for God and do what is right on purpose. Discipline yourself to do what you've decided and depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. So let me ask you something in closing. Have you decided to live for God and do what is right? If not, I hope you will make this decision today.